This podcast discusses topics involving human death. Listener discretion is advised. My name is Ivy, and welcome to the Taphophile Diaries. A taphophile, also sometimes called a tombstone tourist, is defined as an individual who has a passion for and enjoyment of cemeteries, epitaphs, gravestone rubbing, photography, art, and history of deaths. So, if this sounds like you, you might just be a taphophile. Episode 4, Rosalia Lombardo. For this episode, I want to give an extra trigger warning for child death. It was December 13th, 1918, and Mario Lombardo's daughter had just been born. Unfortunately, this was a time period where infant and child mortality rates were very high. And only 2 years later, on December 6, 1920, so just days before Rosalia's second birthday, she passed away from pneumonia. Her father, Mario, was absolutely heartbroken. So Mario, in his extreme heartache, did something a bit out of the ordinary, and he approached a well-known Sicilian embalmer, chemist, and taxidermist named Alfredo Salafia and asked him to preserve his precious daughter so that she could be held in the Capuchin catacombs in Palmero, Sicily. The history of the catacombs is pretty interesting. This monastery has outgrown their original cemetery in the 16th century, so the monks began to excavate some crypts below to hold the bodies of dead friars. Some of the bodies are laying down, but some are hanging off of the walls, and others are sealed in these glass cabinets. Over time, to be entombed in these catacombs turned into a sort of status symbol, and other well-known and wealthy figures were held there as well. The catacombs were completely filled and closed by 1880, but it remained as a popular tourist attraction. The catacombs contain about 8,000 corpses and 1,252 mummies that line the walls. There is also a method of classification and separation for different bodies. They have specific areas for men, women, virgins, children, priests, monks, and other professions. Some of the bodies are posed. For example, there are two children that are posed sitting together in a rocking chair. And some of the bodies are also set up in ways that the family members of the deceased could come in and hold the corpse's hands so that they could all be joined together in prayer. Despite being closed, the catacombs did make an exception for Rosalia and found room for her. And out of all the corpses there, hers definitely stands out because many remark that she almost still looks alive, despite her corpse now being over 100 years old. In her coffin, she is positioned laying down, wrapped up in a light blue blanket or cloth, and she has very soft, even-looking skin that does have a bluish tint from some minor oxidation. She has curly blonde hair, soft eyebrows and eyelashes that are still perfectly intact, and her crystal blue irises are still visible because her eyes are a little bit open, and she has a yellow bow made of silk in her hair. Other than the slight bluish tint to her face, she truly does look like a peaceful, sleeping child, giving her the nickname Sleeping Beauty. Many people believe that there was absolutely no way a body could be preserved this well, so they actually did an entire scan on Rosalia in her coffin, and they could see her bones and her organs and everything, which did tell us that she is indeed real. These scans did also confirm that she did die of pneumonia. It used to be that you could walk right up to her coffin, but now it is sealed inside another larger airtight glass case to help prevent any more oxidation or decay from happening. But with so many people visiting her, some began to notice something odd, something that some considered to be paranormal in nature. With so many people traveling to see Rosalia, some of them observed that her eyes would open and close on their own. This was just a spoken rumor until someone actually captured it on film. They had taken consecutive photos from the same spot within a 2-hour time period, and you can see what looks like her eyes opening, but just barely. People that witnessed this believe that her ghost or spirit is still there with her body and manipulating it and the one doing this, possibly unaware that she is dead, or some people wonder if she is trying to scare these visitors like an Henri kid would do. And I'm not gonna lie, when I first heard about this and saw these photos for myself of her eyes opening, I got goosebumps. It is very eerie. But after looking into it further, I found the real explanation behind this phenomena with her eyes, and no, it is not paranormal. A man named Dario Piombino Mascali believed that it all has to do with lighting and angles, which he was able to recreate and observe as the natural light moved through the room during the day as the sun set. So sometimes Rosalie has a lot of shadows cast on her face and it makes it look as though her eyes are more closed. And throughout the day, she gets more light shining on her face, which shines into her eyes, showing her irises and making it look like they are more open than they were before. But this is just an illusion. Another theory worth mentioning that isn't really likely is that changes in atmospheric pressure and temperature could cause her body to expand or contract slightly, which could potentially make her eyelids move, but because of how well preserved and how dried out her body tissues are, this just doesn't seem possible. I do want to include on here, since this is a very macabre podcast, that for decades, it was a mystery as to how Alfredo was able to preserve Rosalia so well. But Dario, who was the one that debunked Rosalia's eyes opening and closing, he is also a biological anthropologist, and he found Alfredo's handwritten memoir in 2007 that included his mummification technique that he used on Rosalia. Alfredo injected the little girl's cadaver with a special fluid of his own creation made from 5 simple ingredients. Formalin, also known as formaldehyde, to kill bacteria that causes decomposition. Alcohol, to dry the body. Glycerin, to keep the alcohol from overdrying the body. Salicylic acid, to kill fungi. And zinc salts, to give her body rigidity. And that, my Taphophile friends, concludes episode 4 of the Taphophile Diaries. Sorry it was a little bit shorter of an episode, but I still thought this was a worthy subject. My sources I used for this episode are all linked in the show notes below, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at the Taphophile Diaries for photos and updates on future episodes, and you can even suggest future episode topics, just send me a DM. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave a rating or a view. That is the best and easiest way to support your favorite podcasts. I've also got a website and blog to go along with the podcast, so you can keep enjoying cemetery content in between episodes. And there's a Facebook page you can check out as well and become part of this little Taphophile community. And don't forget to join me next time for episode 5 of the Taphophile Diaries. This podcast is produced, researched, and edited by me, Ivy Boyd. Music is by Dimitri Terrace from Pixabay.